Join me in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. We're coming to an end of our reading in Joshua this year. Moving on to Judges, and so I want to look back for a moment this morning. Joshua 4. Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 1. It says, "Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'" The book of Joshua is a relatively short book, not hefty like Ezekiel. And yet, it records the entire conquest story. Very brief, to the point. But what makes that interesting is that in this relatively short book that tells us the whole story, we have an entire chapter devoted to the story of the stones. Isn't that odd? These rocks that the Israelites were to take from the Jordan as they're crossing into the Promised Land. In fact, it is an oddly detailed account. Did you notice that in the 7 verses we read? The instruction that comes from the Lord about what they were to do, and then the men are told where they were supposed to go and what they were supposed to get and how they were to carry them out and where they were supposed to put them in the place that they camped. I bet all of you earlier this year at the end of January when we read Joshua chapter 4 were utterly captivated by that and wondered, what could this mean? Or maybe it was like flyover territory and you thought, wow, I didn't even know that chapter was in there, and moved right on. Will you notice a couple of words with me? In verse 6, he says, the stones are a sign. Something that would prompt children to later look at the pile of rocks and say, Dad, what's that all about? And Dad would have an opportunity to tell the story again. And then in verse 7, he said that this pile of rocks would be a memorial so that forever they would remember this day. The memorial itself is shockingly unimpressive, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if they laid these out in an ornate way like someone would landscaping their yard, or if they just piled them up. It's not like they built a monument with a visitor center and a gift shop with t-shirts. They piled up some rocks. Oh, but if you know the story, it's not just a pile of rocks. Interestingly, it is not the only time in Joshua that Joshua worked with stones. In chapter 24, which we just read this past week, when Joshua, at the end of the story, is calling Israel to be faithful to the Lord, and they are promising, we are not going to serve the idols, we are going to serve the Lord. Notice this in chapter 24 and verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Now watch this, 27. And Joshua said to all the people, "This stone shall be for a witness against us, a sign, a memorial, and now a witness. For it has heard all the words which the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." So again, large rock put in a key place. This time, the rock is the witness. I heard what you said. You need to be faithful to do it. I was curious and started looking for stones in Joshua and discovered that they're all over the place. In chapter 7, in verse 26, they piled up stones over the remains of the sinner Achan. In chapter 8, in verse 29, the next chapter, they piled up stones over the remains of the king of Ai. In both cases, this text say the stones are still piled up there to this day. The men were long dead and gone, but the stones were still telling the story. They are a reminder to us about the way God uses memorials and signs to help his people remember events that are important. And now you're putting it all together, aren't you? It brings us to this table and this memorial, which comes as no surprise that God, for this greatest human event, would also provide a memorial. It's also no surprise, is it, that it's simple. A little sip of juice, a little piece of unleavened bread. Perhaps to an outsider, odd. Can you imagine attending a worship service for the first time and all of a sudden they're handing out plates with little bits of bread? What is that about? Oh, but if you know the story, the bread, the juice, the body, the blood. This memorial, too, is meant to be a sign, perhaps one that would prompt a small child to watch the trays and the bread and the juice go by and to say to Dad, "What does it mean?" A chance to tell the story again. And for those of us who know, a time to remember. God has something in mind for all of this, something it is supposed to do for you and me. May it never become a ritual exercise. May it always be a time to remember.